Can't tell if I'm recording. Recording.
Okay. Okay, we start this every Yeshua now. This is an important general yisod of the entire sefer. This is like the basic, like if you have to, each sefer and Navi, in my opinion, can be summarized in a sentence to two. I'm not sure yet how to summarize every single sefer, but each sefer definitely has an underlying theme in the sefer. Yehoshua, I think, is pretty simple. I even told this to Rabbi David, and he, Dayel Chacham Berumiza, Talmud Chacham gets it really quickly. The idea of Sefer Yeshua is it's completing and finishing off Chumash. It's Mefurish Gemara in the Darim. It's sort of. It's not, I've had people argue with me about it. So I think it's a Mefurish Gemara in the Darim. It's explicit Gemara in the Darim. Rabbi David said, of course it's an explicit Mefurish Gemara in the Darim. I said, but I had long arguments with people about it. So even though we both think it's a Mefurish Gemara in the Darim, you have to know it's not what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, if the Jewish people wouldn't have done anything wrong, then we would have only gotten the Chumash and Sefer Yehoshua. We wouldn't have gotten Chumash and Sefer Yehoshua. And all of everything else, all the rest of Tanakh, is in a certain sense a result of Chet. We're not perfect, we did wrong. In a certain sense, the rest of Tanakh is a result of we didn't do everything right. Okay. What do we see from that? We see from this because Sefer Yeshua has to happen. In other words, the Chumash always talks about doing the mitzvahs, come. You'll do this, you'll do that, you'll do the next. It tells us a lot of things we're going to do. Very little actually happens in terms of coming into Eretz Yisrael and doing it. Moshe does conquer Eivor HaYarden, which in a sense is part of Eretz Yisrael. It's not complete Eretz Yisrael. That's not, not for right now. I'm not explaining the exact difference. It is partially Eretz Yisrael. It's not completely Eretz Yisrael. For a number of things it is, for a number of things it's not. But in terms of the conquest of the key parts of Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu has nothing to do with. And because of that, we need Sefer Yehoshua to show how what was said is going to happen in Chumash actually takes place. And we'll see it's an explicit pasuk towards the end of the Sefer that sort of like hints to this idea. Okay, I hope to point this out a number of places. This idea has another permutation or application, and that is there's certain minor little promises and statements in Chumash which we're going to find are, reported upon in Sefer Yehoshua to show that they happen. There's one or two specifically that I'm thinking about. And if you want to know, in other words, there's a couple of stories or small incidents in the Sefer, and a person could ask, what exactly is this written for? The answer is because of something in Chumash, which this is coming to complete, and coming to show, how this promise, or this concept, or this idea in Chumash is expressed and happened in Sefer Yehoshua. Okay. Yehoshua's name is always written with a chibik. Yehoshua bin Nun. It's not Yehoshua ben Nun. Every single time, you can look, Eddie, go, check me out. Every single time in Tanakh, his name is written Yehoshua bin Nun. Why? So the Red Ox says over here that technically you could sometimes use a chirik instead of a segol. And he brings a couple of examples. In other words, technically a pshat doesn't have any hechreach. We do find segol and chirik interchanged here and there. On the other hand, there's a Ramban in Shmos. I think it's the first time he's mentioned, but I'm not sure that I didn't have quite enough time to look it up. I have it written down in my other nach, but I was traveling light, so I brought my small one. The Ramban says the reason why Yeshua is called Bin Nun is because it's a remez, it's hinting to the fact that he had a lot of bina, he had a lot of understanding and insights into life. So that's why he's always written Yeshua bin Nun.
It's Ramban.
It's a Ramban in Shmos. I think it's a Parshas Kisiso. but I'm not sure. I could definitely find them. I could find it on the spot if you bother me later. But if not, I definitely have the marmukim in my other sefer, and I can get it for you next week.
Where's that gemara in Dan?
I think in the Ramads. It's Ramad Beis. It feels like it's around Ramad Beis, but I didn't have. This is like a not regular week. I spent, we were in Poland, and I didn't have as much time to prepare as I normally would. No, I don't know if it's mamash machlokes. Yeah, Josh wants to know, is there machlokes? Now, as you probably know, I'm not. Some people are like nervous about making machlokes. I like controversy, so I don't mind making machlokes. I once gave a test to guys at a place I gave a class. I asked a question. He said, "I know you like to find machlokes, but I can't find any machlokes about this one." So I'm not sure. In other words, the Ramban. I didn't look at the Ramban. At least 8 months, 9 months since last time I went to Shmos, and didn't say I said on Yeshua last time, it was 3 or 4 years ago, so I haven't seen the Ramban properly in some time. Don't recall if the Ramban mentions the Radak's Pshat al Derech Pshat, the Radak might mamish be right. It's not Mukhach, there's a Machlokas. We don't have to say there's a Machlokas here, but there might be. That would need a lot of Eon and like a small side point, so I didn't yet do it.
What do we say the Radak said?
The Radak says in Pshat, Bin and Ben are the same thing. The Chirik, one dot, and three dots, Sago, are occasionally interchangeable in Tanakh, and it's not really, in other words, in basic Pshat, most simple Pshat, it's not really, what they call in Yeshivish a Bumbakasha, which means an explosive, difficult question that you're supposed to sleep over. Okay, there's another idea in the Sefer, which is a general idea to the whole Sefer. I'm going to show you at least one example of it tonight. Let's see, Ariel here, but he asked me a question, which is answers. There's another general idea in the Sefer, which is Pnei Moshe Kechama, Pnei Yeshua Kelavana. Pnei Moshe Kechama, Moshe's face was like the sun, Yeshua's face is like the moon. Now we know, and Chazal knew this too, that the moon reflects the light of the sun. Pnei Moshe Kechama, Pnei Yeshua Kelavana. Yeshua, to an extent, is an extension and continuation of Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is amazing. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest of all Nevi'im. He had the highest level of Nevu'ah. Yehoshua is a reflection of that, and probably, most likely, it's actually an explicit Mabit. It's an explicit Mabit that Yehoshua was number two. There's number one is Moshe Rabbeinu, Yehoshua is number two, and I'm going to start to show you the first application of this.
What? The Mabit. Moshe ben Yosef Tran, the father of the Maharit. The Mabit was a little. The Beis Yosef lived so long, it's hard to remember from dates of death who's older than him. In other words, Beis Yosef died in 1575. The Mabit died a couple of years before that, but it doesn't necessarily mean that he was older. Because the Beit Yosef was like 90 something when he died, and you could have a very full life and not quite get to 90 something. So I don't remember exactly if the Mabit is a little older or a little younger, but at the same time, he was in Tzvas, and it was when we were there last year, we visited his kever in the famous Tzvas Basic Folks. So Mabit wrote a sefer called Beis Elokim, God's House, and part of it is Ikrim. There's three parts to the sefer. One is Tshuva, about Tshuva, about Tefillah, and about the Yud Gimel Ikrim. In the section about the Yud Gimel Ikrim, when he's talking about Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy, and one of the chapters of there he says this, which one I don't remember exactly. Okay, now I'll show you the first application of this. The phrase V'yam Hashem El Yehoshua Bin Nun Misharis Moshe Lemor, it's almost the format of Torah. Torah is V'dabar Hashem El Moshe Lemor. It does not say that anywhere in Navi. Navi, it always says, excluding two or three times, maybe three times, and say, Yeshua, excluding that, in Navi it says, Vahidvar Hashem Eilai Lemor. It doesn't say, Vadabar Hashem El Yishaya Lemor, Vadabar Hashem El Shmuel Lemor, doesn't say, Vadabar Hashem El Eli Lemor, Vadabar Hashem El any of the Nevi'im Lemor, doesn't say. The only time it says that format is by Yehoshua. And the reason is, Pnei Moshe Kecham, Pnei Yeshua Klovana, because Yehoshua, to an extent, is, even though it's not Maspat Klai, even though it's not absolute clarity, the way Moshe Rabbeinu had is very close to that. And because of that,
Yehoshua was allowed to use the format similar to Moshe a number of times. Okay. So, Hashem tells Yehoshua, it's time to go over the Yarden and come into Eretz Yisrael. Avor as Ikum, Avor as Yarden as Ata, go over you and everyone else. You're going to Eretz Yisrael, to the land that I give. Wherever you go, you're going to be able to conquer. Now this is, you look in Rashi, if you look in Rashi, which I really meant to do today to, you know, get some mitzvahs knocks, but I unfortunately hopefully I'll do it tomorrow, later Sunday. Wherever you walk, you're going to get. I'm going to give to you. Rashi says, what does this mean? What does he have to say? This if the pasuk wants to teach me about the boundaries of the land, doesn't have to do what it says in Chumash. What must it be? In why does it have to say wherever you walk? After you conquer Eretz Yisrael, whatever you conquer in Eretz Yisrael will also be yours. Also have dinim, also have the law of Eretz Yisrael. So this is important. This was a unique opportunity. Also, the Jewish people coming into Eretz Yisrael, if Yehoshua would have grasped the opportunity with absolute zrizus, with absolute alacrity, and gone as full speed as possible, we would have had not only Eretz Yisrael, even more than Eretz Yisrael. It's a unique opportunity, and this Rashi is going to go better with the Rashi, which we're going to talk, I'm talking about in 2 weeks, and you'll see it's a picture. You know, there's an advantage and disadvantage to learning something quickly. The advantage is you see the whole picture. The disadvantage is you might not be able to see the whole picture because you're going so fast. but as you'll see, there's a Rashi later on in Perek Yud Aleph, which is going to complete the picture, and then let's try not to forget this Rashi. Okay. Now, Minbar Yakas goes through the whole Eretz Yisrael, what you should do. Now you start to Israel for Nechal calling Nechayach, Kesheisi Moshe Yehimel for Abba for Vazbel Vazbel. Again, it's a unique opportunity. I'm with you. Whatever you do is going to be successful. And Yeshua did not lose any battles. The one case that I know about, he made a mistake. That we'll see. That we'll see. Okay, Chazak Vamatz. Okay, now the famous Chazak Vamatz. It's Chazak Vamatz 3 times. I hope everyone knows that. Chazak Vamatz. Because you're going to help them inherit. What's the first Chazak V'Amatz? Rashi says Chazak V'Amatz V'Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz is hard. It's a hard word. You know, there is a general problem between English and Hebrew. The English is a very literal language, and Hebrew is a very figurative, conceptual language. Derech Eretz, many people think, means good manners, and sometimes it does mean good manners. And I will show you a good manner. You know, Derek, that usage of Derek Eretz, you know, hopefully about 10 minutes or so, maybe even 5. Over here, Derek Eretz doesn't mean that. Derek Eretz means like the Gemara in Brachas, Josh, where's the Gemara in Brachas? 3 things always need Chizik. Tefillah, Derek Eretz, and Torah. Zayin Ches, that early? Okay, fine, wherever it is. Okay, Rabbi Zinke, you can figure it out. Anyway, it's in the first paragraph of Brachas, not that far in. It says 3 things always need Chizik. Tefillah, Torah, and Derech Eretz. The Gemara, Rashi says over there explicitly, Derech Eretz means umlus, means what you're doing, means your job. Whatever job you want, if you're a doctor, you always have to keep up with the latest medical discoveries, practices, etc., etc., etc. If you're an accountant, an accountant really has no choice. He must keep up with the latest tax law, because if not, he's going to be in trouble. And a lawyer obviously has to know the latest changes in law. Whatever you're doing, you have to keep up with what's going on. So that's the first Chazak one. Chazak Matz of Derech Eretz, there's a way to lead. Being a leader is not just, being a leader, there's proper leadership. And the first Chazak Matz is personally to assure, Chazak Matz, be a good leader. Make sure that you do the proper, use leadership, study leadership, think about leadership. First one, Rak Chazak Matz Ma'al, Yishmael Asas called Torah Torah, Shetzivka Moshe Abdi, I'll toss it remember in a small. Be very carefully, be chazak b'mas, to be strong and have courage. Be very very much to guard the Torah. Well, Yom Shefer Torah is only picha v'gizim Yom v'gaiva. Don't forget about the Torah. Think about it all the time, because that's what's going to make you successful. This is the second one: chazak b'mas b'Torah. Be careful to strengthen yourself in Torah. It's a hard thing. You know, we were on a trip in Poland. Trust me, it was not easy to get some learning in every day. It wasn't easy, you know. I managed. It wasn't easy. So when you're whenever fighting a war takes time. Chazak v'matzah b'Torah, make sure you're careful to be strong in Torah. Now, it's interesting, we're going to have a third chazak v'matzah in a moment. Third chazak v'matzah in a minute. The only time it says ma'od is by Torah. Chazak v'matzah b'Torah is one thing, okay? It's important, and you should do it. And chadras chazak v'matzah, which we're going to see, is also important, too. But ma'od, be very careful! That's only by Torah. Be very careful, it's only by Torah. Have I not commanded you, chazak v'amatz? Don't be scared and don't be worried and don't shake, because Hashem's with you wherever. Because Hashem's with you wherever you go. Now Rashi over here says, chazak v'amatz. This is interesting. Rashi, chazak v'amatz. Rashi says, b'mochama, Moshe Amar, Taharetz al teichas, v'heichan tivol, b'mei Moshe shenemar v'tzav yishur es b'nun. Have I not commanded you to be strong and fearless in war? Like the Pasuk continues on to say, don't be scared, don't shake. Where did he command him? In the times of Moshe, as the Pasuk says, Vaitzav is Yeshua bin Nun. Chazak b'matz, Pasuk in Dvar. Now, this is a general rule in Rashi, which I'm not 100% sure why it's true, but it's a rule in Rashi Nach. There's at least three examples of it, maybe four. I don't think there's more than that, but there's three or four examples. Whenever a Pasuk says, Halal Tzivi Sicha, have I not commanded you? Or as it's commanded, Rashi understands that's a reference to Torah. We'll see it by Dvara, we'll see it at least one other time in Yeshua, and I think a second time in Shoftim. Whenever it says, there is a command, or it's don't you remember about the command, then that is a reference and a hint to something which says in Torah. Could be that at the end of the day, even though when a Navi tells you to do something, when Yeshua says to do something, the chayav, the obligated to listen to him. Nonetheless, Torah is a stronger level of command, and only by Torah it's possible to say command. Maybe, I don't know. Okay, gotta go on. Now he turns towards, first he tells the people, we're about to cross the Yarden, you have 3 days, get ready. Then he turns to B'nai Gad, B'nai Reuven, Negam Neruvin says, and I'm sure you guys remember, you had to deal with Moshe Rabbeinu, you didn't want to Eber Yadin. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you want to Eber Yadin, you have to go in front, you have to be, you know, the frontline warriors. Remember your deal, remember your promise. And only after you finish conquering are you going to get your part in Eretz Israel. Now, the Negam Neruvin turned back to him and say, Ve'yanu es Yoshua Lemor. Whatever you say, we're going to do. We're going to do whatever you say. You just make sure to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, Ariel Berkowitz asked me this last night, and I remember being bothered by your question at least 4 years ago. It sounds a little disrespectful. Like, what's going on? Moshe Rabbeinu says, Yeshua says, you guys have a promise out there. So they say, okay, we're going to do it. And we're going to listen to you. But you have to be like Moshe. It's a little funny. It feels a little disrespectful. So I think this is what I think is a different application of Derech Eretz, but in a different sense. It's very hard to be number two after Moshe Rabbeinu. And one of the reasons why, in other words, it's not a coincidence that Pnei Moshe Kachama, Pnei Yeshua Kovana. That's not a coincidence. That had to be. In order for Yehoshua to take over from Moshe, to fill Moshe's place, he had to be very close to Moshe Rabbeinu's level. If he wouldn't, people just couldn't listen to him. After you're used to having Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't go from Moshe Rabbeinu to your average guy as a leader. That just can't be done. That's too much of a jump. And because Klal Yisrael had Moshe Rabbeinu as a leader for 40 years, because of that, they have in Derech Eretz, it's not wrong. Look, we had Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't have Moshe Rabbeinu now. But you're going to have to. You have something to live up to, and it's not because that's just a fact. It's a fact of life. I'll give you an example. Medivrei Chol Mamash. Mamash Medivrei Chol. There once was a very famous college football coach whose name was Bear Bryant. I know anyone know Bear Bryant. Bear Bryant was what? University of Alabama. University of Alabama. Very good. I see. Your father did live in Atlanta for some time. He was a legend. He won, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 national titles in like 20-something years. Some guy said after he retired, I would never take that job. Like, how are you going to be... After one guy messes up, then I'm willing to go in. But after such a... He was a living legend in the state of Alabama. A living legend. It's very hard to fill the boots and follow the path and be the guy right after the living legend. Moshe Rabbeinu, Chazal and another talk about why isn't Moshe one of the others? Why isn't Moshe considered a forefather? So in order to take over after Moshe, you've got to be really good. And it's even in terms of derivatives, it's not disrespectful. Derivatives to say, look, we had Moshe Rabbeinu, we want something good. I'm not going to show you right now, but it's explicit in Shir Shir. This is the pinnacle, the high point of Jewish history, one of the highest points, and everyone's really behaving really well, and everything's in order. They have the rights now to say, listen, we want someone, and this, we know we're not going to get Moshe, but something close to it. Okay, let's go on. Whoever doesn't listen to you, whoever rebels against you, whatever you say should die. Right? Chazak b'matz has to be according to Vitara. This is the source for Merib b'malchus. If someone rebels, the king's about to come. Now, Rashi says, Yamra yaknus dvarecha. Rebelling doesn't necessarily just mean the king says, do this and you don't do it. If the king says something, and yaknis dvarecha, and a person makes light of his words, makes fun of his words, that's also rebellion. Okay, I could talk a lot about Merib b'malchus, but we got to go on. If you got at least one more paragraph. Now we're going to get one more paragraph done tonight. What? The chazak b'matz most likely means it has to be according to Divrei Torah. There's a halacha, Merib b'malchus, even though if a king tells you to do something and you don't do it, he could kill you. That's only if he's telling you to do something within that does not go against Torah law. If he tells you to do something against goes against Torah law, then you don't have to listen to him. The classic example is when Shaul told Avner and Amasa to kill the Kohen Eno, when they said no. And that's a very complicated story, and we'll see it. Let's say middle end of the winter. No, it's going back to they're telling Yeshua Rak Chazak Ramatz. Oh. Rak Chazak Ramatz in Torah. I'm pretty sure this is the right shot. Rak Chazak Ramatz in Torah. Be strong and courageous in Torah. And it means it's taken to mean other places, and that's why I'm applying it over here. And I'm just don't have to trust my memory right now. I've checked it carefully, so you don't have to trust me. Chazak b'matz other places does refer to keeping Torah law, so I'm going to apply that over here. That when they're saying, and that is a din in Hilchos Malchus, Hilchos Malchus, Furish, Hilchos Malchus. Let's say the Perek Rambam, the Perek Beis, that you only have to listen to the king when it's going with Torah law. Clear? Are clear?
Yeah. You said that Rashi said that
Chazak b'matz
three times.
Yeah, that's the earlier. That's the first b'matz. That's Hashem telling Yeshua Chazak b'matz. The three, and now with the final Chazak v'matz over here is the people telling Yeshua Chazak v'matz, and that the only good explanation I can have on it is in Torah. Maybe we could say more Pashat of Shah. Maybe we could say, but let's come on, guys. We got to get the second parak done also.
And
Muhammad. The third one's Muhammad. Okay. Hey, v'yishalach Yeshua ben Nun min Hashitim shnei menashe v'rayim v'mcheresh to send out spies. What did he send out spies for? To pave the way. Spies make things work easier. If the spies are good, if they're good shluchim, if they're good messengers, then they're going to pave the way and make it easy. This, I heard at a shmuz mamish, maybe it's 20 years ago already. Let's see, no, it's not. It's like 16 years ago. I heard this in a shmuz from Mavoba, but it's really, I hold he was running up a midrash over here. It doesn't quite say it in the midrash, but I hold he was running up a midrash. When the spies go and do it, so that paves the way and makes it easier for Klal Yisrael, for the Jewish people to come. And the way Yericho was conquered was a very special way. And the way they were able to do it was because of how the spies went and were Moser Nefesh and did their best. Key question. What did they tell? What were Yahushua's instructions to the spies? What were the instructions? Was it to see everything and Jericho, or just Jericho? Now, as you read the Perek, you know they only saw Jericho. So, if Yahushua told them, "See as Haaretz v'es Jericho," and Haaretz and the land is something besides Jericho, then how did they actually do it? Now, does Rashi bring it? Rashi is explicit over here. Ruah Zaharetz was Jericho. Rashi wants to know, why does Jericho have to be mentioned out separately from the rest of the land? Rashi answers the reason why is because Jericho is the most difficult fortified city in Eretz Yisrael at that time, and it's equated to the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Clear? You got it? No. Over the Rashi again? Ruah Zaharetz was Jericho. What is the instructions? What are the instructions? Are the instructions just Jericho and the land around it, or it means see everything and Jericho? And of course, the obvious flip question back is what did they do? Read the story. They only went to Jericho. You read the story. You saw. They went to Jericho. I hope everyone read the story. They only went to Jericho. They didn't go anywhere else. So how did it work? And Rashi's explicit. It's a midrash over here also. Remember, the Yaakov brings it. Yaakov by name means Yaakov Shimoni, by the way. The Yaakov over here brings a midrash. The midrash says that, just like what Rashi says, that all of that Jericho is corresponds and considered equally difficult to the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So how did they do it? If the instructions are rules of arts with Jericho, and they're not Jericho, what's going on? Okay, we'll see. Okay, now where do they go? Now they went to the house of Zona. Zona over here means what you think it means. Zona over here means a prostitute. Now there's two ways to ask this question. There's the Lamdisha way, and there's the From way. There's two ways to ask the question. The Lamdisha way is, did they specifically go there? Did they have any reason specifically to go to Rachav? Or was it just some type of ki'il hashkacha pratis? Did they end up in her house? The other way, the formal way to ask the question is what in the world? I had people ask me this more than once. Of all places, they had to go to Rav Azona. What in the world? What was the problem? Usually, if you're a really religious person, you try to avoid people who have such ill repute, you know? So why? Is there any reason? I mean, like, what's going on? It's funny. And I when I said on this B'iyun, I said much, much longer about what does it really mean. Okay, not now. Sorry, guys. We could talk about that, but not right now. Okay. So now what happens?
Is there an answer to the question?
Of course, there's an answer to the question, but we have to see the story, and you'll see the story. You'll see what the answer to the question is. You see the story with Rashi. You'll see the answer to the question. They told the king of Jericho, two people came here to spy out the land. And he knew somehow or another, he obviously had accurate information. He sends a message to Rachav, and he says, where are these guys? Give them over, hand them over. Now, it's interesting. She doesn't lie, by the way. She lies a little, but she doesn't blatantly lie. She doesn't say, nah, they never came to me. She doesn't say that. She says, yeah, you know, they did come to me. But they went away, and I don't know where they are. Now, I don't remember what it is. I was actually listening to Shira, I said 3 or 4 years ago on this. I have some Raya in Rashi. Don't ask me what it is. Please don't, because I'm not sure right now what it is. But I have a Raya from Rashi that they actually inspected her house. It's not just that he asked her, and she said, no problem, it's fine, and yeah, maybe you'll find it. No problem, it's fine. They actually came to her house and inspected and couldn't find them. But see, the point is, part of the point is, wait a second. You didn't understand what I said? Or
I thought that was an
It might be. You might be right. It could be. The Midrash of Chara is mukhaf. I'm not holding. I want to go. I want to try to get the whole story in. So let's.
The another question I had was, what, like, Jericho is a large city. Why are they asking her?
We'll see. Why Dafka? Why specifically Rachav? We'll see. Okay. Now I think this is like a. This is like also. I would call this an application of Derech Eretz. The Derech Eretz doesn't mean good manners. It also means the proper way to act. And part of it is you know, when you have to convince someone something's true, and you like sort of know they have information, you don't go and deny everything they're saying to you. The king of Jericho had information they came in. She didn't try to say, nah, they were never here, you know what you're talking about. Because then he won't believe her at all. She said, yeah, they were here, but they left. And she said that because that is a more believable thing to say rather than absolute denial. Okay. She took the two men and she hid him. She hid one of them. Now that's funny. You know, Hebrew is a very exact language. Why does the pasuk use the singular instead of the plural here? So Rashi brings two explanations. Interesting. The first explanation, first Rashi says sometimes you could talk about the rabbim in Lashon Yachid, plural and singular. And it was a very small place, and because it was so small, it was as if she pushed him so much in. It's sort of like the cattle car. You remember the cattle car? We were so pushed in. Can you believe we're in here? I don't know, maybe the shul in Theresienstadt, which one was more crowded?
The shul
was more crowded. Okay. You know, you're so crowded. There's a sign outside the shul that said no more than 10 people in here. And how many we get? 90-something in there?
Actually, it said maximal.
Maximum 10.
Maximum.
Okay, Tom, that's because...
10 peoples.
That's 10 peoples. That's because just like there are English spelling mistakes in Israel, they're also in the Czech Republic. Okay. The titzpano is very tight, so therefore it's only like one person. Emidrash Agada is Rabbi Tanchuma Yesh. Emidrash Agada says, who are the spies? Pinchas and Kalev. Pinchas Amar Levan V'lelelel L'tisha Hayakamalach. Pinchas stood and they couldn't see him because he was a malach. Now, the Midrash says, and I'm dropping out a little, this is a whole, you know, what we call in yeshivas shtickle type. The Midrash really says two things. It says two things, and they're both accurate and both factors in how Pinchas was able to do this. One is Pinchas was a Navi, that's when he was a prophet, and the other one, he was a Kohen. And both of them have abilities, malachic, are compared to a malach, compared to an angel, different places. Just wait a second. And as we saw in Sefer Shoftim, I think it was really 2 years ago, not last year, so sorry. It was 2 years ago. It doesn't just mean once. If someone speaks to Hashem once, does not gain the attributes of a malach. However, someone who constantly speaks to Hashem gains attributes of a malach. And it seems that because Pinchas had so many ways to connect two attributes of a malach, one as a Navi, someone who had a lot of prophecy, and two as a Kohen, the epitome of who a Kohen is, because he was so connected to these, you know, positions which have din, which are compared to, are connected to malach, he was able at will to make himself invisible. Okay, I can explain this at length, and you'll just have to, anyone who's bothered by it is very invited to sit by me at dinner, and I'll explain it to you at length. It's a Tanchuma, it's about 3 Midrashim. It's a Tanchuma and Rabbah, it's a couple of Midrashim.
Why wasn't it necessary for Judas if she didn't share it with him?
I don't recall, we'd have to look at the Midrashim, sorry. Okay, so they came up. They came up and they and passed, and again I said I think from Rashi it's mashma somehow or another they actually looked for them. I don't see it right now, but I'm telling you I worked on it once. Then the other people ran out, the people chasers ran out to look for them. Maybe Rachel's telling the truth. First they went towards the Yarden, then they searched more, and we'll see. I hope to complete that before the end of the shiur, that they did a thorough job looking. Okay, she goes up, Vahema Tam Yishkavim, before they even went to sleep, she went up to them on the roof. Fatamar al-Nashif, she said to the people, this is very key, this is from the key parts of the whole story. She said, this is Rahab's report. She said to the people, Yadati, we know Hashem is going to give you the land. And we're terrified. And we're shaking. And everyone doesn't know what to do. Now, you obviously have to ask, where did she know it? How did she know that? Kishamano, let's go on. Kishamano, Eisa Shehov, Eisa Shehov, Eisa Shehov, Eisa Shehov, first we heard that Kriyas Yamsu 40 years ago. Pasuk says in Chomer, Shamu Am Yugazim, Chilach HaSeh Shei Pelashis. Shamu Am Yugazim, the nations heard and were trembling. Chilach HaS, fear gripped those who lived in Pelashis. So everyone, we knew about it. And we didn't totally forget about it. We were hoping maybe you'll get stuck in the Midbar. But now you came around and you defeated Sichon and Og. And we know it's real. We know we're in really bad shape. V'nishma v'himas v'avenu, we heard and, I'm passing it off. We heard and our hearts melted. No one could do anything. Rashi says, even the sleep of the woman. Amru, she had relations with every single Sire and Nugget, every single army officer and aristocrat. Okay? Now that's why she was a good source of information. That's why you want to know. Yeshua gave them instructions, check everything out. They took a shortcut. They went to the person who knew everything. Everyone told her everything. And the people who really knew what was going on, when they went to Rachel, they went there specifically. They knew exactly what they were doing. That's the person you go to. You don't just go waste your time looking here, there, and the next. You go to the head of the CIA, and he tells you what's really going on. Okay, so she had inside information. Everyone was confiding in her. She wasn't just, we'll leave the rest to our imaginations. Okay. Now, there's another point here. I'm reading Rashi. Now, I want to tell you something else. I'm throwing out now a Rashi and Shir Shirim. I'm throwing you a Rashi and Shir Shirim, which I'm not going to spend the time to open because I want to finish the story properly. But I'm telling you some foolish Rashi and Shir Shirim. It says in Shir Shirim, Alken Alamas Avucha, the purpose of the Yetzias Mitzrayim is the greatest, one of the greatest revelations of Hashem's power in the world. You want to know why Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf happened? It happened, Al-Kain Al-Ramas Arevucha, to give people out there, some of the people in the world, the ability to recognize Hashem's power in the world. Who managed to do that, really? Who really managed to do that? Rashi and Shir Shirim says two people, Yisro and Rachav. The two people who Rachav had, there's an old phrase, Rav Benny told me this also about a certain guy today, he's like a real big star somewhere. He said, when he was in BMT, he was the wildest kid. He was such a troublemaker. Unbelievable. So this is a general rule in the world. A lot of times the people who are the biggest troublemakers and Ki'ilu appear to be the worst, they really have the greatest potential. And that's Rachav Azana. She had a lot of potential. And she used it. She grasped all the opportunities available to her and went from being Rachav Azana, says in Chazal, she married Yehoshua. And Yirmiyah and Yechezkel, the Nevi'im Yirmiyah and Yechezkel are descendants of Rachav and Yehoshua. What?
It's
not impossible.
There's
a marriage that says you should never eat children. Oh, yeah, he's asking Kasha. That must be Machlokes. That is Machlokes. This is not Mufur Shigamar. Both are Mufur Shigamar. I'll find it. You'll bother me, I'll find it. Okay. Okay.
The
Gemara says, I'm 95 to 98% sure it's also Gemara. The Yirmiyah and Yechezkel were descended from Rachav. Okay, so now Rachav turns. Rachav turns to them and says, I need a favor. Rachav turns to them and says, I need a favor. I don't want to die. Do me a favor. I don't want to die. My family, I don't want my family to die. Can you please save us? And they turn back to her and say, no problem. If we don't honor our word, we'll die instead of you. We'll die instead of you. Okay. Very good answer. Were they allowed to do this? There is a halacha. Halacha. Foolish pasuk. Vosachai kol neshama. That you have to kill all the Kananim. You have to kill out all of the Zion Am, all of the seven nations who live in Eretz Yisrael. Were they allowed? Wait a second. Were they allowed to do that? Were they allowed to put that? So they're saying to her, yeah, no problem. We'll save you. I'll show you pretty soon. We'll save you the whole way to make sure it's only her and her family. But okay, we'll save you. Are they allowed to do it? Yes.
I mean, weren't they allowed to be
Gary Tosha? Depends when. We'll see more. We'll see the second half of the Sugya when we get to Givon. The Givonim should be, what parak is that? That's not next. I think it's going to be the week after next. It's the week after next.
Wasn't there also an Amnon that left?
What?
Wasn't there also an Amnon that just agreed to leave?
Yes, there was. Carthage. Girgashi. It says in Chazal, it's Girgashi. It says they went to Africa. We all know that the Carthaginians are a Semitic nation who appeared at some funny time and went to the modern Tunis, in the Tunis area, and therefore one should assume that means the Carthaginians. But I really want to finish this. I have a lot more to say. So let's go on. So there's two reasons why they're able to do this. First is is the only time it's a problem is before you cross the yard. And there's a major machlokas rishonim. We go over the Givonim in 2 weeks. I'll show you. There's a big machlokas rishonim about this. It's a big question. At what point can they change their minds? There's a big question. I don't want to. Let's just leave that right now. But it's not a problem because before the Jewish people cross the Yarden, it doesn't start Lo Sechaya, the mitzvah, the command to wipe them out only applies after we cross the Yarden. Before we cross the Yarden, the we're not muzar, we're not obligated to end the Lo Sechaya. That's one. The other possibility is definitely possible. Just wait a second. It's definitely possible that she was not a Kanani. Possible.
Wait, they promised her before they crossed.
They promised her before. We have not good. You'll see. You'll see next week. Be'ezor Hashem, the crossing the Yarden after the storm. Yeah.
Even if they weren't allowed, it could have been that they had to, because otherwise she may have gone to report. No, if she says I want to be able to live, and then they say no, we're not going to let you.
They could have. I'm not sure. I hear your question. You want to know? Did they have a specific obligation to her now that she had helped them out? I'm not sure. I hear your question. And I would have to. I don't recall working on it when I went over at Be'im, so I'm not willing to spew. I don't have anything. Nothing is like. I don't have any inspiration hitting me right now, so I'm just going to leave it off. Yes, Josh.
The pesukim in the Farshim seem to say that Rachel was saved through because she was a righteous woman.
Yeah.
How does that work when she's a son of the town?
Okay. I'm not sure. Maybe you'll show me exactly what you're bothered by later. I just want to go on and show you one more, at least one more major thing. I want to basically finish the story. Now, did I miss that? I missed one of the things. Did I?
It's a different generation.
Wait a second. Yeah, I missed one thing. I want to go back to you to Aleph. It says, "Ki Hashem Elokeichem Hu Elokim B'Shemayim Me'al V'Haaretz Mitachas." There's a midrash over here in the Yalkut. Midrash says that Rachav came to the greatest level of hakara, of recognition of Hashem, that anyone ever came to.
Yeah, like that.
The midrash says, "That's one of the things you're referring to."
I don't know. Like a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff. Yeah. So that's what I told you, that someone has, a very broad character base. They could use it for the good or for the bad. And initially she was using it for the bad, but she was able to, it's a hard thing. It's not easy. Usually when you try to make a 180 turn, it's not successful. A lot of times you crash. She was able to grasp all the opportunities given her. And it's definitely, let me just rephrase this. Definitely since the defeat of Sichon and Og, which is probably a couple of months before this, one would assume she had started doing tshuva from that point. That's what I would assume, but I'm not 100% sure. Got it? So she hasn't stopped. It's not the mamash. It's not just a 180. Even the Kriyas Yamsuf made a great impression on her. And then when Sichon and Og happened, she kept on going, and she put everything back that she thought about in the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, and put everything together and was able to completely turn herself around. It is definitely an amazing thing. I agree with you. It's a really, really an amazing thing. And I don't know. No, there's a Rashi which you missed. Maybe that's what you're bothered by also. I'll show it to you later. I'm not sure. It's a good question. We're missing, in other words, we see Rachav goes from Rachav Azona being a woman of ill repute to being a great person in what seems to be a blink of an eye. And we know that nothing happens instantaneously. We have a little hint that she started thinking by Kriyas Yamsuf. And then when Sichon and Og happened, she did more. But we're missing the how she actually wanted to do it. I'm not sure. But I want to go on. I have one other thing that must be said. Okay. Rachav gives him good advice. Rachav gives him good advice how to avoid being captured. You need to hide out for 3 days. In other words, the military men who went to look for them were doing a very thorough search and knew the territory, terrain very well. She says, go the opposite way. Instead of going towards the Mabros and towards the crossings, you need to go the other way because they have everything else very well held. And that's what they did. Then she sends them out and they turn to her. This is like a shot. This is a little funny. They're going down and they say to her, Pasuk Yitzayim, V'yomer her ha-noshim, Nekim ha-nachim, Mishul Sef, Hazel Sheish Batan. It's 7 o'clock and whoever wants to go is invited to leave. I won't feel insulted at all. But we'll take about 3 to 5 minutes to finish this off. And please, really, if you want to go eat dinner, you can go eat dinner. We don't have to. We are clean from the shvuah.
What?
Clean from the shvuah? They just swore to her. You know, if you swear, if you do any act in halacha which obligates you, and you try later on to change it, that's called dvarim shebalev. That's called when you think about something but don't verbally express it and put the verbal condition in, it doesn't really have halachic significance. So what's going on? Why do they think they could try to change their minds here and add in extra things? So the basic shot, and I'm basing this on Rashi, is they weren't really changing; they were just clarifying. They had already told her don't tell, but because they didn't want her to play verbal games with what don't tell means, they clarified don't tell really means don't tell, and we're making up this sign of the tikvas shani of your red rope. That's the basic shot, and I just want to leave it at that. There's more complications. There's other more complicated ways to learn it, but we're going to leave it at that. Okay. And now let's go on. Let's just finish it off quickly. They went back. They hid out in the mountains for 3 days. And the people searched out for them, and they weren't able to find them. They came down from the mount, and they went and they crossed over to Yeshua, and they told him everything that happened to them. And they said to Yeshua, it's a very good sign. We see from what just happened that Hashem is going to help us conquer the land, and everyone there is terrified of us. Okay.